You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette con butto belle fastidia.
You know, Matt, I didn't tell you about my friend Dom's house. On Friday, we were going to be doing this show, but of course we didn't do it. We always do a Friday show, but I wasn't on this Friday. Where the hell was Frank? Because I know so many people's lives were put on hold. I know that I impacted them like that. But where was I? I was in Monroe, New York, with my buddy Dom's family. Now, Dominic is a friend of ours from college and just an amazing guy. He was actually on this show last autumn, I believe, when he and Sonny, his fireman friend, they're from some of the Westchester departments. They came by to talk about their cookies, the Cookie Republic, that raises money for firemen, and it's all organic, it's all gluten-free. These amazing cookies, they're fantastic. They're great for, like, pre-workout, they're good for a healthy snack. It's just the cleanest cookie you'll ever have in your life, and it all goes for a great cause. Well, in either case, that's so you guys have been introduced to him. It's been a while. In either case, I've known Dom since our time at Manhattanville. And I met him along with Sebastian, our friend. He does amazing work. A lot of the brands that you see at places like the Grammys and the Super Bowl and all that, he does all that brand integration type of stuff with his company. And goddamn, he's done some fantastic things, and he has a beautiful family now, too. He's got two kids, my buddy Sebastian, Ava Grace and Maximus. And, dude, it's just amazing. It's amazing to see all this time go by. It's been next year will be 10 years since we graduated, which means that this radio show will be 11 years old because this started in junior year of college. Well, not this radio show, but the 9 o'clock show, Zdrazo, New York. We've been doing that for 10 years now. And in either case, I'm looking at I'm over here at Dom's house, and let me describe the yard a little bit to you. They've got a couple of acres, and it is fully cultivated. Back in college, Dom also had an idea that he wanted to start this company called Beyond Organic because all the products he wanted to make and all the foods he wanted to craft, all the ideas he had. He had a few of them. One with like a tea, but it was not like a real tea. It was something, but there was chocolate. It was using a lot of things like rice milk, finding alternatives to things to make really crafty things. And of course, he just comes from a culinary family. Just, they're such salt of the earth, enlightened people, you know? Decent and simple, but just completely enlightened. Anthony made a comment when we left their place that night after the party was over. It was Dom's birthday. He said, you know, this family, like, they don't need, they're so much better off than the person with $50 million. This family is so tight and so loving and so accommodating. There's nothing unhealthy about this relationship. It is pure love, and they're so welcoming to everybody. Like, the people at this state, I mean, they are, and, you know, I've been there before. This is the first time Mike and Anthony have seen Dom's place. And so the family is just amazing. You know, and I can see it doesn't, they don't need any, if society were to collapse tomorrow, they would not need a damn thing. Not a damn thing. They had a whole, their whole garden section is done with such precision, just meticulously mapped out. And every kind of, you name the vegetable, you name anything. You want to talk about zucchini, any kind of squash, things that they're still layering in for the fall harvest or anything like that. Everything, the tomatoes, the peppers, all types of greens, spinaches, lettuce, cabbage, you name it, it is there. Cucumbers, just keep going, it's there. Okay, every type of pepper, whether it be hot or sweet, it didn't matter. Then they have all of their cages where they breed rabbits, they breed chickens. So they never had to go out to buy an egg from a grocery store in years. Okay, so they actually gave us a dozen eggs of their own before we left. So Anthony got to bring that home, and. And as you saw from my Instagram, Anthony got to pick his first egg. He got to reach in and take it right out of the nest. But they have the chickens, they have guinea pigs, they have rabbits, and of course, you know, he said this is all meat, and it's very, very done very well. It's spacious. They're fed good stuff. It's just that's how they live. It's amazing. Then you go beyond that. You go into all the like the fruit, the orchards and kind of areas where they got plum trees, pears, peaches, apples, raspberry bushes, mulberry trees, figs. I mean, everything. It's right there. You want something, you pick it off the tree. And I'm probably forgetting a lot of the highlights there, but just awesome. So you take these people who know how to work the earth, how to be self-sufficient. The people there we're talking to are sitting there. They're showing us how to make rope out of things, like out of anything, out of plants, how to make rope. Somebody took a balloon string and made the most impressive rope out of it, out of something that usually you just snap effortlessly. It was amazing, the people who make bows and arrows, that some of them try. It's awesome to talk to everybody, and they all love you. They learn your name. They remember your name immediately. You know how people come up to you and say, hey, just telling you right now, I'm bad with names. I'm not going to remember them. Don't worry, bro. I'm not going to remember them. Don't worry. But you know how people say that sometimes? It's like, it's not like that. They take in your name, and they know it immediately. Then they see you 2 years later, and they still know your name. It's amazing. What does this have to do with anything? Well, I'm just bragging a little bit about my friend Dom's family. Very, very happy that it's inspiring to see that that stuff exists. That stuff exists. No predisposition to anything. Are you comfortable? Do you need anything? That's just it. You know? Fully integrated family. They don't. There's nothing there. It's everybody is the same at the table. It doesn't matter what color you are, what your persuasions are. It doesn't matter. That is it. And I started thinking about this stuff. And we had a really great show last Friday with Anthony, the deer episode, the deer scene episode. That was another fantastic show. And we touched into some really, really deep shit there, man. I mean, some really important stuff there. You know, just to show the disparity between what people who are making the world into the shithole that it is are doing to remove you from any kind of genuine human experiences anymore. You know, we're living these fast-paced lives, these Facebook status tweet, 140 characters or less lives. We're being completely whipped around, chasing our own tails. We're fed new things to be outraged about every day. Are there some things that really deserve outrage? Sure, but are they usually any of the things that we're getting outraged about? No. No, you got the lion tamers up here that are causing problems between the lions. I don't know, man. But and I just, you know, I just kept thinking about the press and the internet and how it's just it's destroying what's left of American families and communities. Think about that. Because we know that the American family unit isn't as strong as it once was. And that's not for any religious reason or anything else. There are social norms and social standards and social behaviors that are producing less family cohesion, you know, worse conditions to raise a child in, this different types of the neglect that's going on. Everybody, you know, it's funny, but not a lot of people. I know some mothers do it right, but a lot of mothers, they're becoming a little bit more neglectful. Parents, not just mothers, parents. They're becoming a little bit more neglectful. I started saying mothers because I was thinking about single motherhood and all that stuff, which is, I mean, all part of it. But parents, even the ones that stay together, they tend to be a little bit more neglectful of little subtleties in their children's behaviors and what they're saying, because they're too distracted with what they are taking care of in their phone and what they want to keep going back to the phone to take care of. Like, everybody's in a rush, you ever? But no, I catch myself doing it all the time. When I'm driving, I don't understand why I need to get where I have to go as quickly as possible. What am I rushing to? I'm not rushing to anything. Nothing, barely anything holds my interest these days anymore. It's all so fucking bullshit. It's bullshit. But the worst thing is, you know, if it was a matter of me not having my attention being drawn in by anything of substance or not, that doesn't mean anything. The problem is that it's the bullshit things that are really, really starting to hurt us all. And it ushers in so much frustration, because no matter how much you try to expose the bullshit and show how you're really not making a good argument for anything other than what you've been taught that you need to be outraged about. Okay? Because if we really put down all the frills and all the reasons why we need to do something that we're given as well, then we have a lot of similarities. We have a lot of similarities, a lot to learn from each other, and you know, it's just, it's all blocked. It's all blocked by a very thin veil where you can look somebody in the eyes. You can actually make a physical connection. Be able to tell them something. And they can't process it. And not so much that they can't take it in and adopt it as their own belief. They can't even open themselves up to another way of thinking. Even if it's just like a hypothetical, they can't do it. They cannot put themselves in another pair of shoes. That inflexibility is getting quite frightening. Aside from annoying, frightening, annoying, and frustrating. And that's the thing that gets me. You know, the press was meant to keep the pressure on government. A free and open press. It's meant to keep pressure on government. You know, to keep them somewhat honest. Somewhat. But we don't have a free press anymore. We haven't had one for a long time. But if you're just catching on right now, it's very simple to see. You don't have a free press. I mean, just look at as recently as the DNC leaks. You don't need anything else. The Democratic Party is a party of liars. Now, anybody who didn't disavow themselves as a Democrat and become independent overnight after what just happened is the biggest sign of cognitive dissonance. Anybody who is still loving their donkey, anybody who's hugging their donkey's neck to death right now, whoever has clung to it right now or brushed it off, the real highbrow intellectuals who just didn't even have time for that nonsense, they should be utterly ashamed. Utterly ashamed. You guys should have you should have burned your Democrat Party card and changed to independent overnight. That for any sane person, that leak that is going to get worse, as we're all hearing, that leak should have been enough for everybody to say, you know what? I've got principles. I got values. I used to think it was this guy. But you know what? Fuck these people. Whatever your principles and values are, if you've somehow, you know, put those together and made it into your identity in a political way, and that's it, and you were calling the Democrat Party home because you believe that that's where your values were most in, then I think it's time just to start a new party. There should be more than enough of you out there to start a party of formidable size if you were all sane. Because if it really was just the work of those creeps at the top that were committing propaganda against you, that were disenfranchising you, taking away your voting power, taking away your voice, taking away the candidate that you guys were being very, very, very clear, very, very clear about what you wanted, all you Democrat voters, you Bernie Sanders fans, if you guys were really in those great of numbers, then there's no reason why the Democrat Party should be a thing today. You should have all burned your cards, burned them, thrown them into the fire. Okay, right into a trash fire. In a little bit of a ceremony. Guys wafting in the smoke, saying your prayers to whatever Wiccan gods you're worshiping. Okay, and then that's it. It really is. I mean, it's the greatest reason to know that there's no hope. If you didn't see another party, I mean, you know how the Republicans have the Tea Party, people who actually care a little bit more about what the founding principles were and why things are so bad because they've been derailed a little bit. You can say what you want about the Tea Party. They're the only hope of to find a little bit of principle in there that's actually promoting of liberty. There are at least a couple of voices in there that are that could be listened to and not have your head blown to bits. But then again, if you've already been sold on, you know, the abortion and the gay conversion camps and all that stuff, which, you know, that's the other thing. Everybody's been saying, you know, this is the platform has conversion camps in it. You know what? If people don't want to go to a conversion camp, they don't go. Is conversion camp kidnap only? Or do people have to agree to go? Can somebody please call in and tell me? That's not sarcasm. I want to know if this if there's outrage about conversion camps, which I'm not which I am not a believer in at all. I'm definitely opposed to them. But am I going to tell somebody they can't have a place open where people can come to voluntarily? To see if maybe what they're feeling isn't what they thought. I don't know. I really don't care. You could do what you want. As long as the premise of the business of this camp is not to kidnap somebody and keep them tied up like the gimp in Pulp Fiction. If kidnapping is involved, then yeah, then that's ridiculous. Take it out of the platform. Or you should be ashamed of yourselves. But I don't know if kidnapping is part of it. If it's all voluntary, then you can't. Then grow the fuck up. There are people out there who think that might be a good idea, and there are people out there who might feel so badly about their homosexuality that they may actually want to voluntarily check it out. Why are you taking away their rights to choose? You know, as long as the whole thing is voluntary, then grow the fuck up. You're the party that wants to block puberty for kids. And you don't want to have somebody or a family or somebody, whatever. People make decisions to go. So, like I said, I want to actually get the details of that. So, if somebody can please tell me at some point during the show or message it to me, and I will either redact or amend things that I was saying. So there's that. And I also wondered about this too. I know that the depression, and you know, there's a lot, I've been reading a lot about transgendered people, and especially people who have detransitioned and regretted it and have gone into this you know, like almost like a truth movement within the LGBT community that really want the T to be taken off of LGBT, because they think it discredits the gay community to be lumped in with something that is completely unlike a sexual orientation, something that carries a great that actually does carry a great deal of diagnosed mental illness or syndromes, whatever the hell it is. I have the article here. I just wasn't planning on talking about it right now, because there are lots of, you know, lots of factors that go into somebody who's dysphoric. So there's lots of things there to talk about as well. I don't know. I want to know, but more specifically, what I was going to say is I want to know what the suicide rate. I was trying to look at what the suicide rate was for gay men and women who had tried the conversion camps after the conversion camps, whether or not, because I know that suicides are linked to these camps. I 100% can see why. Like I said, I'm not a believer in them. But I want to have unbiased conversations and not be afraid to do so. I want to know, and I couldn't find anything anywhere. I took about a half hour searching for this stuff. If anybody has any kind of rate or a percentage, a reliable source of numbers on the suicide rate of gay men and women after they've gone through some kind of a conversion camp, a religious conversion camp, because all of the evidence I can find on transgendered suicide rates post-op is that they're still as high as 20%. That the surgery usually never helps out the depression, and that suicide is very, very high, and it's never talked about. It's never spoken about. Which, if you're trying to craft a political agenda that is based solely in capturing people in the web of identity politics, you wouldn't want to talk about that, would you? But we have to talk about that. It'll be coming up on a broadcast soon. It's already 7:24, and I'm not even through the Dom part, the Dominic House, into anything else. Oh, actually, hold on. Do I have the fucking Skype on? I'm gonna put the Skype on. I don't know if any of you guys are trying to call in with those stats. A rumble and roar just called it. When Frank realizes Skype is off, take a drink. Oh my God. Yeah, I know. It sucks. I do this all the time. You know what the problem is? That I'm the first broadcast on every night. So I usually am the one that... Johnny Kimball from Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire?
Hey.
What's going on, dude?
We were betting that once you got done with your monologue that you would go, oh shit, the Skype isn't on.
It's actually not even done, but who the fuck cares? Let's just go with it, because I'll lead to it. I was just talking about media disconnects.
Yeah, I wanted to go back a little bit in what you were saying, and I'll get back to media disconnects, right? So you were talking about like a farming lifestyle,
yeah.
Somewhat, you know, very voluntary. Sorry, dog was barking. And you can kind of link that to agorism, you know, a lot of, you know, it's really nice, a lot of voluntary exchanges kind of thing. I had an experience this summer. I was with a family friend of mine, and he goes, hey, we're going to go see Pat. I go, okay. I was working for him for the day. He's a Vietnam vet that like works 6 days a week, no matter what. And so he said, hey, we're going to go see what Pat's up to, right? So we get in this van, and all of a sudden we turn around his parents' farmhouse that you can walk around the house and tell that it was built after electricity was put in houses to begin with. You know? So this is a real old place. He showed me a rocking chair that like five generations of family has rocked it. Anyway. So
five generations of family has rocked in this chair.
Yeah. You know, and it was just like one of those things that was like, and it was like really plain, but he was like loving it. So anyways, we go to Pat's house. Instead of using the road, we bang it around the house, and we're looking at the back of the house, and it's a giant farm field. And someone's like doing their tractoring thing in the back of the farm, and it's a hot day. Like, you know the days when you can, if you look at certain places, you can see the heat?
Yeah.
It's one of those. And so I'm like, it was almost like you're in the Twilight Zone at this moment. You know, I'm looking back, I'm like, is that guy even there? You know, and he's in the tractor, like, way back. And now we're on a dirt road that parallels the actual paved street. And we drive a little bit, and now we're at Pat's house. And we're at the back of his house. And it was just like, wow, that was neat. And what had happened was someone had a tree on their property that they wanted down. And they got it cut down, and then they sent it to the sawmill. And everybody kind of in this family community street area had been picking from the sawmill wood for their multiple projects that they're doing throughout the summer. And it was like the coolest thing.
That is cool.
You're now like you're away from everything. It feels like, granted, you're 200 feet from the road. No one really, you know, he doesn't care who I am, what I look like, but I'm with him, so it's fine. And, you know, he had built, like, this, like, hut above his garden and all this. And he was explaining, oh, we got this size over here, this size over here. You know, take what you need. You help me with this, with that. And it was really cool. And it was, you know, like I said, it was a voluntary thing. It's a family thing. We drove.
Isn't it inspiring, though, to say, wow, this is very simple, and there's really no need for anything outside of it if everybody just took care of that?
You know, and it was funny. The only outside bit that came into this conversation was this man, Pat, who I actually had met before, now that I think about it. But he said it was right after the Orlando gay bar shootings, right? And these guys, by no stretch of the means, are liberals. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And but his flag was at what's it called?
Half when mast.
Yeah, thank you. His flag was at half mast, and he said, "Hey, notice whose flag isn't right." And apparently, like, there's someone across the street that they just kind of poke fun at for being, I don't know. They don't really like him.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, buddy boy over there, his flag isn't at half mast. And it wasn't anything about the shooting. Barack Obama, who I'm sure neither of these men voted for, was not mentioned. But he was like, you know, it's not hard. The president says it goes halfway down, and you just kind of don't put it all the way up that day. And he's like, you know, the rules are pretty simple. And that was like the only touch of outside that kind of got brought into it. And it was
the
like
president. The mention that there was a president, and you immediately remember who that is.
Yeah, and but these guys were, and they're both veterans. Granted, not that discredits them, but you know that's their commander in chief. Like, you know, even if it is some pseudo communist or whatever.
Yeah, it sucks. You know, I remember we were taking a trip around Candlewood Lake a couple of years ago. And you get to some parts of this lake where you don't see anything but just, you know, these big mountain ridges and houses that are just kind of sticking out of these big forests of evergreen trees and stuff like that. And it's really, really cool to see all that from the water and just be totally have nothing around you but all that. And you start thinking to yourself when you get struck by these sights or you're at a certain place and you're reminded of a simpler way of living – that you say, you know, if it weren't for some fucking 4-inch screen in my back pocket or a television inside that we feel compulsed to, you know, we feel compelled to plug into every once in a while to see what's going on. There really is, it's just not reality. The stuff that we've been shown on television is just not reality. Reality is what you fucking live in. Are you being informed about what somebody else's reality somewhere else is? Yeah, sure. But it's just like, it doesn't touch. They don't really touch each other. And I think it's just that television screen that really makes everything feel so real. I had mentioned, there's this one thing that I wanted to bring up, and you can stay on the line for it. The mention of politics, you know, it used to be an eye-rolling affair. You know, you're around somebody and somebody makes a statement that kind of outs them as, you know, this or that. And, you know, somebody, you know, gives a rolling of the eyes or whatever. And it's something casual like that. Like, oh, you're one of those. But you still go on with your drink. But now it's getting so personal and way too violent. And that's because of the access to the internet. It's like what we're marinating in constantly by design. And it also makes everybody think that we're living in the same 100-mile radius as everything else. Like, you know, if bad towns and cities and neighborhoods around the country get press because of police killings or social decay of some type or all that stuff, it's being used to create the illusion that it's happening in your own backyard. You know, communities no longer take care of their communities anymore because they're trying to take care of communities on the other side of the country where life is completely different.
It's true.
And it's just like, and in the process, it creates this stank attitude. What it does is it actually takes places that haven't had problems yet and makes problems in them because this poor type of thinking creates, you know, it's all rooted in victimhood. First of all, and victimhood is the main way we explain away our failures and cover up the stink of the failure of government, if you want to push it that far. Victimhood covers up the stink of the failure of government. You know, it's turned us all into these social justice busybodies looking around furiously for problems to diagnose and treat.
People who don't have the right opinion.
Totally, dude. And what does it stem from? It stems from what people say, systematic this, systematic that, systemic racism and isms and ists and all that, which are all ghosts that can never be caught. Okay, so not only does media create all this shit and tear apart families and communities, see, it all ties in, stream of consciousness, it comes back, families and communities, but it creates psychosis. I mean, it's detaching people from reality. That's actually the vehicle in which it's served up. Once you're split off from the reality of your backyard or that guy that you're hanging out with and you guys are all using the same wood that was cut down from a communal tree or something like that. I mean, that type of shit, that's reality. I mean, that's you playing the game of life. You're outside. You're dealing with people. You're forming bonds and relationships. You're working through life. You know, you're becoming self-sufficient. You're passing on knowledge. You're outlearning, hopefully, the generation before.
Absolutely part of that gig. Is like, I don't get paid very much, but my God, does that man have some things to learn.
Dude, I mean, there you go. We're being disconnected from this stuff. And I think this is the most important shit that we needed, that we need, period.
Side note that I know you'll like to hear is half staff on land, half mast on sea, as per Frankie Castle, who is a Marine, I believe. Maybe he's...
Yeah, he's a Marine.
Yeah.
He says he's a Marine. He's never called in. He's never
shown his face.
Never tagged us in a picture.
Never shown us his badge.
Believe
for the NSA.
We've been on the air. We've been dealing in internet broadcasting and social media for 10 years now. Okay. I don't believe anybody is who they are until I see like 5 forms of proof. So that's not a personal slight. It's not a personal slight. It's just 10 years of bad luck. Okay. We lived catfish before catfish was even a film. Forget about the corny staged MTV thing. We had some fucked up shit happen. We had one chick troll us for 3 years as a cancer patient.
No.
Dude, she killed herself off and everything. I'll tell you that story one night. I'm telling you.
That's a ZNY.
Oh, yeah.
Story, probably, yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of that written down. I have the pictures she used, which is weird because that person is still out there somewhere. She used a person's picture to be her. And my God, just to think that that person is actually out there, they don't even know that they have been the center of some crazy story.
Just corner of the internet.
Yeah, I tried to do Google reverse. Media,
and it's like, what?
I tried to do Google reverse image search. Never bounced back with anything. No profile, nothing. I really wanted to find this woman and say, you should know, because we found everything out about this girl. We
Could
found everything,
math.
And we outed her on
Could
my
be some scary
on my birthday
human trafficking
episode.
Stuff going on.
Yeah, man. It was on my birthday episode. We outed her. Everything about her. We opened her. We outed her. We showed Google images of her property, her address, everything. I called up this girl's neighborhood watch leader to let them know that they had a deranged psychopath. it was bad. There's funny twists to it, but there was also some really weird shit, man. People coming back from the dead. Weird shit.
If you want to tie back to the Democratic Party, I was thinking when you were talking about how their face is the donkey, right? And as maybe the other side or just someone who doesn't like Democrats, you might think, donkey ass, they make fun.
Yeah.
On a modern farm, a lot of times.
Good night, Ann Caporato, by the way, and I'm very jealous of those kebabs you said you're making. I'm just looking at the chat room now. Please.
Oh, that's a first.
Yeah. All right.
No, I'm just kidding, because we'll say shit about you all the time, and they're like, if you read this, Frank.
I know. I gotta.
No, you can't do all three things.
I try.
Oh, was it okay? So donkey, right? Donkey. We think dumb donkey. Donkey on a modern farm, a lot of times are. Brought into the farm and used as guards for the other livestock.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like a fox problem or anything that comes in and kills your livestock, a donkey will fuck it up. Just Google guard donkey and you will see some gory, awesome things. And I was thinking, I'm like, how does that represent the Democratic Party? And then I was thinking, because they use... And granted, we know that, here's our caveat. We know that the other side is just Democratic white at this point, and, they're playing heel on WWE. But because the donkey guards the livestock, because the livestock is stupid, but it needs the livestock. That's its job.
Yeah, it's true.
And the people are just livestock that, they sit and they bark in their – or what the hell do chickens do? They cluck. They cluck in their...
They cluck around, man.
They cluck around and they talk all day, but they don't really do anything. They just vote the right way.
Right. Nah, that's it, dude. You need loyal servants in this game. But the problem is that you can't be outright authoritarian, jackboot, march people to the polls. Not yet, at least. You can't do that just yet, okay? It's not a North Korean election just yet, but it's getting there. And if we're not playing that game, then what you need is you need people to have rationalized and accepted things and willfully. You have to persuade them to. It's all a persuasion game as it is, but you got to persuade people into thinking.
You need to lead them into the chicken coop.
Yeah, but dude. This is so much more severe than that because.
Oh, absolutely.
Think about the cognitive dissonance we were talking about before. Like, why hasn't the Independent Party grown by 70% or grown by 170%, I should say? Why the hell is that didn't happen over the last couple?
Indoctrination?
Yeah, man. Yeah, so that's when it becomes a little bit more...
And a lot of times I'll see, the open borders thing, which spans across every political anything that you can think of. And I've seen people like myself, Agorist, Voluntarius, Inc., whatever you want to call it, that say, all right, just wait a sec. and look at how throughout history, politicians will use people, the population, and manipulate them so poorly that they want more and more.
Yeah.
We're just poker chips.
Yeah.
Stop advocating for people to become a part of the machine.
Yeah, the other problem is that people think that these politicians that care about them so much actually care about them. You should know by now, they do not care about you. They care about you very, very little. And the other thing is that they're not even politicians. These are lobbyists. They are the best lobbyists for the most part. Almost all of them are lobbyists.
Yeah, they're like good PR people.
Right, not for companies and industries, but for ideologies. You know, Bernie Sanders is not going to sell you he's not going to sell you a pair of pliers, but he'll sell you an idea.
He doesn't know how to use them.
he doesn't know how to use anything. He wouldn't be able to make a toy anybody wanted. You know, but that's just it. They're in place to sell something to a country whose strongest founding principle is freedom of the individual and the right to live freely with or without an ideology, or not being influenced by one. This is just a religion. It's the same exact fucking thing.
No, you can't bring that up though, because those guys own slaves.
It's just a religion. All this shit. I mean, it's the same thing on the right. Nobody's really talking about eliminating government. You know how big of a band, dude. If any Republican really talked about getting rid of the Department of Education, getting rid of the IRS, getting rid of all these other alphabet agencies, they would be a sitting duck. It would never, because they would also have to preside over such a massive amount of job loss. The United States government is one of the biggest employers in the country. It's like that's the thing that's hanging over both people's heads. They're going to be status quo to a great extent, because to really shrink government means that you're going to destroy tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs. Thousands of people were out of work when 17% of the federal government was shut down in 2013.
And waves upon that, people like bookkeepers can't do their job, you know, when tax time came around.
Yeah.
I was just talking to someone about that today. She was like, I couldn't fucking do anything for all my clients because, you know, I couldn't get paid because the government wasn't open. I'm like, oh, my God. What have we done?
So it's that's just it, man. They're lobbyists. Like, they're lobbyists for an ideology.
But then you have like the Ron Paul quote that says, "When I say cut down on taxes, I mean abolish the IRS to nothing."
Yeah, see, I like that idea. Well, Johnny, anything else you want to add before we move on? I think I'm gonna have Joe and Jonesy of three drink Broken Filter Live. Broken Filter Live, they're coming up next.
That's always a hoot.
Yeah, no, they're great. But I wanted to bring them on because I have two articles here, and I didn't get to anything I wanted to get. I wanted to get to more cognitive dissonance, especially with the Islamic State. And I wanted to talk specifically about this commie pope and how amazing. Spineless. Dude, commie pope.
Was that Matt saying spineless?
Matt, yeah.
He should be burned. He should be burned.
What?
Burned or sent to the gallows?
He turned on the church, bro. He's turning on the church.
People would say that he's being very Christian, though.
Yeah, and those people are probably going to be the first ones to die.
You're right.
When they take everything over. This really? Dude's talking about we shouldn't build borders and shit. Dude, knock yours down, you fucking stupid-ass pope, saying all this fucking bullshit, this and that, poor this and that. Get off your fucking gold throne, you fucking bitch.
What do you think? What do you think Jesus would think if he came back and saw the extravagance? Okay? Remember,
you should
Indiana
do a Jesus was a socialist episode and debunk the hell out of that one.
Jeez. Oh, wait. Did we do that? We didn't.
I don't know, but I don't know. But it would be a good one to do.
No, yeah, Jesus is a minimalist.
Real.
Remember,
saying we have to kill and exterminate.
No.
This.
No, Jesus wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. But listen,
Jesus would said, "Send him to the gallows."
His father would.
Almighty God.
Jesus was peaceful. His father, though.
Yeah. That's why I like God more.
He'll flood the shit out of you.
Yeah.
He will smite. There's plenty of smiting being done.
You want to fuck around? You get a big flood. I just imagine God's a New Yorker.
Yeah, what is this? You, what, really? You want to fuck around?
Get out. Fucking serious? All right. Famine.
Famine. You're not going to eat for a couple of years. Fine. These, get out of here.
These fucking treasure rules. Plague.
What do you want to do with Pennsylvania? Put them in the fucking bathroom. And then all of a sudden you just see just boils and shit. All the sewers just exploded.
You know what you get? Communism. Fuck you.
Well, in either case, thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
You're the best, dude. But coming up next, what I wanted to talk about, I really wanted to get into the Pope, but there's no time. There's just no time.
I want to talk to my cousin and see what he thinks about
I would
that,
love,
the Franciscan friar.
I would love it. The Islamic State answers the Pope. Ours is a religious war, and we hate you. After between the Pope and President Obama and Angela Merkel and everybody talking just with the denial. And you know who made a great point today, dude?
Savage, probably.
It was Savage. Yeah. He started off the show in such an amazing way because he was watching a Hitler documentary.
I caught that.
Anybody in the chat room, anybody who wants to put some credence to this or not, call on in. But he had made a comment because he was watching a Hitler documentary. And he came to the way of thinking that because of Hitler, because of the atrocities that were uncovered that were going on in Europe at that time, it has created such a backlash and such a going in the opposite direction to never be, to not want to deal with anything in a very upfront way again. I'm not saying it the way he did. I want to get that out. But he was pretty much saying that because of Hitler, we've been going the opposite direction ever since. Which, it's just because when you're going in the opposite direction, you usually come right back to the back door of the first problem, which is authoritarianism, but also this soft tyranny of thought and all that other stuff. But as far as the whole refugee thing, goddamn, see, there's not enough time. That was all a spin-off thought. I wanted to get to the robot sex. Jesus. Jesus H. Christ. Where's Joe? Oh, how do we get Joe and Jonesy in here?
You want me to get them?
Dude, that'd be great if you could. Bro, I'm gonna rip this fucking band-aid off. But the hair is so... Ah! Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, fuck. All right, joining us now, here in the studio, is Jonesy and Joe from Broken Filter Live, coming up next in about 10 minutes. What's going on, guys?
Rumor has it you wanted to talk about sex with an inanimate object.
Yeah, you know, this is part of your guys' expertise. Sex, inanimate objects, putting them together, all that type of stuff, and the technology that is always evolving around them.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so you guys, we needed to have professionals here, and in a couple of episodes, I mean, it was months ago, Johnny Vroom, some other people have to remember that show. We were talking about sex with robots. Hmm. And there was this article that was out that was talking about how it was being proposed to be used to help treat loneliness in people. And we started going into all the things immediately that would go wrong with it. and all the different things that you'll start hearing about. One of them was, you just watch, somebody's going to treat a sex doll in a really violent way, and they're going to be brought up on some kind of charge. I'm going to say, you watch. Already, this one thing, here it is right here. I'll let you guys comment as soon as I put this out here. This is from Entertainment Weekly. This was one of two things I caught.
Reputable news source, right?
HBO chief spars with critics over rape scenes, okay, with a... It's a futuristic program that they're putting together.
Westworld? On HBO? Is it? Because if it is, it makes me more excited to see
Westworld, yes. Okay, yeah. So here, TV critics write... Hold on. Let me get the quad cam over here working.
Just to give you a heads up, Westworld's like... I think J.J. Abrams has a hand in it. Anthony Hopkins is one of the stars. It's like... Jonathan Nolan, co-writer of Inception and The Dark Knight.
Really?
From Nolan's brother, helped write this show. Mm. It's like a Matrix-like robot future show.
Dude.
So I'm glad I could paint that picture for everybody. But now totally. I'm more excited. There's robot rape.
They'll listen to this. Right. TV critics' rising frustration with rape scenes in entertainment programming resulted in a clash with HBO's new programming chief at the Television Critics Associates press tour in Beverly Hills on Saturday. During a Q&A to discuss the network's content, reporters pressed the network's new top executive, Casey Bloys, on the issue after watching the pilot for an upcoming sci-fi thriller, Westworld, which included a scene, spoiler ahead, where a lifelike female android host is raped off-camera by a human male guest inside the show's ultra-realistic theme park. Acclaimed new crime drama, The Night Of, also includes a storyline about women being victimized and some critics having long taken issue with sexual violence fantasy of Game of Thrones. Well, whatever. But anyway, go back to the robot rape.
I can't stand this.
I don't have much of a position on robot rape.
I'm going to take this down a different road because this bothers me. Is people want shows that are so enthralling and so amazing, but they want it a la carte. They don't want any of the realness, the human element. They want I don't like the rape, and I'm good with the violence, but I don't like beheadings, even though it's a story, say we're talking about Game of Thrones, even though it's a story about medieval, ridiculous
right.
medieval people with just running on raw emotion.
I just want to see the siblings fuck.
I just want to see, yeah, oh, I'm okay with the fucking incest. But I want my medieval
yeah, man, because
show
love is life.
Listen, if you don't like the rape scenes in a very realistic medieval show where women were raped like between breakfast and lunch on a daily basis, turn it the fuck off and move on and watch something else.
Yeah.
Watch something rated TVG.
And you know what?
On PBS.
Usually the only people doing the raping are the most detestable characters in the show that you want to see die.
It's the antagonist, not the protagonist.
I don't understand it. But what do you think? Okay, I want to make the claim right here. It could have been a plot of a movie. I don't know. But once all of the issues that could be made out of mankind are made into political issues that are claimed by one movement or another, do you think that the next political wedge issue is robot rights activists? And because I would have to imagine that robot involvement in our lives is going to continue to rise. And people are going to be... people are always...
At some point in our lifetimes, we're all going to step over that broomstick and cross into... And make that decision to have sex with a robot. Which is going to be a great day.
Now, you know what?
I think we're all going to enjoy it thoroughly. But then, you know, I think once we start doing that and it becomes more of a social moray, then we can kind of examine this issue. But I don't think that... I don't think we have to worry about this now necessarily.
I just watched a movie recently. I think Antonio Banderas was in it. It was about like robot, artificial intelligence robots. And I don't know if I can look it up for you right now. We're tight on time, and it was about very similar thing to what you're talking about. It was they're smart. They became smart enough to be self-aware, and now do they deserve rights? Did we create something? Or will we create something?
Or are we into? Are we? They made too much in our image that it's like it's too jarring for people to watch. So it's just a like a...
Frank, are we talking about on film or like in the confines of someone's home?
I, dude, I'm talking about like real shit. You know that somebody's going to buy a robot just to fight it. You know, somebody's going to buy it to just mutilate it. Somebody's going to... People are going to be buying these things just to just... Just to kill a human being.
So, like, for lack of... So, to play devil's advocate, like...
They're going to bum fight their robot.
Are we talking about, like, are we talking about, like, Commander Data from Star Trek? Like, if you get Commander Data, but a woman in your house, like, are we advocating for that woman's right?
Oh, slow down. Tell me more about this.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, yeah. I mean, well, hey, listen. I'm saying, what robot men, women, we get abused anyway. Real men and women, okay? Yeah. So, what about men and women robots? You know, I feel bad for that fucking, that DARPA dog, that the robot dog that trots around and somebody knocks it over. I'm like, oh, leave it alone.
Do you know who I feel bad for?
I feel like these things are real already, man.
Right.
Do you know who I feel bad for? Transgendered robots. Those people never get a fair shake at anything.
And now the robots.
Yeah.
So they're going to try, they already have it out that they're not ever going to be a real human. And now.
They're conflicted.
Dude, honestly.
It's like a Pinocchio. It's like the worst Pinocchio story ever.
If they're smart people putting together these future sex robots, which is inevitable, because they said in about 40 years, we're going to have androids that we can go fuck in a whorehouse. That is going to feel real, seem real. Now, wouldn't they be smart if they had interchangeable junk?
You know? Yeah, but what about the people who are going to want to watch robots getting fucked?
Beep, beep, beep.
What about pornography? When people want to watch a robot get screwed and they really
want to... What do you mean when, man? Sign me up now.
Okay, that's cool. But still, what about the ones that are going to really want to see a robot get snuffed? You know,
it's going to happen.
But it's going to be some kind of a decency thing. I'm telling you, there's going to be a law written that you won't be able to do everything you want with a robot because it's going to be too much like a human figure. It'll be a decency thing. I'm telling you.
No, you're right.
With this music playing in the background, this conversation... It's so much gravity right now.
I love this music.
It's like an after school special. We're like really talking about how it's going to go.
Yeah, man.
How it should be. Robots have rights too.
But this is the
hashtag Android Lives Matter.
Well, how about this? I mean, like, if you set your robot to spirited blowjob setting.
Right. Spirited.
Spirited. You know, if. I mean, is that abuse? I mean, I would argue it's just a great time.
Right.
I feel like that's an appropriate use of your robot. I mean,
that's no problem.
There's no.
But just throwing a hook into her jaw afterwards, that wouldn't be. I don't think that'd be good on film, at least. People are going to do it in their basements.
No,
they're going to roll. Why do you all need these new heads? You know, these are $5,000 a head, right? Just couldn't help myself. I just need to crack her face open.
Now, think about the Hangover. Like, I know you get drunk wild.
Pretty graphic. Drunk. Crack your face off.
Just say drunk wild sex. You got like a $10,000 sex robot that you break out.
And you're just, all your boys take turns on her.
No, you get drunk and let everybody just fucking run train on your sex robot. You wake up the next day, it's all in pieces on your floor. You're like, oh no.
God. Oh my God.
I've gone too far. I shouldn't have let it happen. I'm so sorry.
Well, here's the other thing that brought up. It's 7:59, damn it. All right. All right, well, we'll get to that. I wanted to bring this one up. How mechanical dolls may press all the right buttons for lonesome guys. It's a newer writing of that thing that we were talking about last year. So it's somebody else is covering it, which I think is going to be a lot... With the way that all this shit on campus is going, I think that guys are going to seek the no-judgment time with a robot over getting any kind of a rape accusation. You know, I really think that that is going to be something that more and more men who are married and don't want to ask their wife to do certain things are just going to have a little old Michelle in the closet downstairs.
It takes leave me alone in the room with the PlayStation to a new fucking level, doesn't it?
That's it. Well, in either case, coming up next, guys, is Broken Filter. I wish you guys were on at 6:30. We just got a late jump.
Yeah, because no, this honestly, was fun. We only had the time. We rushed and got fast food so we could be here in time to jump on for a few minutes.
Can you come on again next Tuesday early?
I can do next Tuesday.
Okay.
I think we can schedule to make it better next Tuesday.
Because I'll make sure that the monologue and everything else is done by 6:20 on the dot, and you just guys come on for the whole half hour.
Nice. Sounds good to me.
Sounds good.
All right, guys, coming up next, Joe and Jonesy, don't go anywhere because they're great on their own as well. So, and then after that, at 9, I think we're going to be hanging out again for Zidals in New York. So we'll talk about some other shit there. If not for a full hour, just enough to get a taste of each other, you know? All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Be well and good night.